The Tom Woods Show, episode 2007.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey everybody, Tom Woods here. Before we dive into our topic for today, I wanted to tell you about something that I think will be of interest to you that I just did. I was interviewed for an upcoming docuseries called COVID Revealed. Now, this is not the same documentary docuseries that I did an episode on earlier this year with the anonymous filmmakers and stuff. That's going to have a lot of animation and graphs and bells and whistles and human interest stories and so on and so forth. This is a docuseries that really consists, on the other hand, of interviews with various dissident voices, of whom your host here was one. And I'm very happy with the interview I did for the series. The Revealed Films people have done some really good docuseries in the past. They did one called Money Revealed that a lot of you guys liked. They did one on wine. That's right, winemaking, wineries, that was very interesting, called Wine Revealed. They've done a docuseries on cryptocurrency. They've done one on, I think they've done one on psychedelics and, you know, what we're learning about what psychedelics can do for people, particularly people suffering from various problems like depression and so forth. So anyway, they've decided to do this series called COVID Revealed. And you can watch the whole thing without having to pay for it as long as you sign up in advance. So it's coming out the end of November 2021. They're going to start releasing the episodes. So hop on over there and register so you can watch it. I can't speak for the rest of it, but I can say the interview that the old man here did is pretty satisfying. So you can check it out at tomwoods.com/revealed because it's called COVID Revealed. So tomwoods.com/revealed. Go do that. You will be happy you did. As I say, you get to watch the whole thing. Won't cost you a cent. And everything they put out is worth watching, in my opinion. Now, let's talk about today. Today, I want to share with you something from last month, that is October 2021. And that is a panel discussion on which I appeared at the Mises Institute Supporters Summit. And we're talking about education and alternatives. And so I spent my time focusing primarily on, well, I guess exclusively, on the sort of practical things that I've been doing by way of giving people educational options. So you'll hear what those are. But the point is, I'm not just giving some theoretical discussion of why private alternatives are better than public. I'm talking about specifically what I personally have been doing, because that was the theme of the event, was strategy and specifics. Not theorizing, but strategy and specifics. So I have some specifics I can point to, things that I've been doing. So I think you'll enjoy that. So there are three of us on the panel, and I think it's all good material. Now, let me tell you a couple things, though. In there, I say a couple things that I want to amend. One is I talk about something that I say I'm going to be launching in a couple of weeks. I'm actually going to be launching it in early January. I decided to wait. It is a perfect New Year's resolution kind of thing to launch. So I'm going to wait to launch it then. That's the first thing. And the second thing is, temporarily, it just so happens right after I mention it, right on a panel discussion, freehistorycourse.com is temporarily down. It's a long story, has to do with lead pages. Long story, I will eventually get it back up, but my plan is actually to offer three courses for free in the future. So for the time being, that's the one thing in what you're about to hear you should not listen to. When I say go to freehistorycourse.com, hang on a minute. I'll let you know when that thing is raring to go again. So I hope you enjoy this little panel on specifics in terms of what we can do to get good educational outcomes for people we care about. So here we go.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for being here. We're going to talk, each of us, I guess, 8 minutes or so about some different alternative strategies in education in which we've been involved. Of course, Dr. DiLorenzo is not an easy guy to follow. So I think Dr. Woods is up to the task. So we'll start with you.
I'm going to be very straightforward today because the time is so limited. So no jokes at all, just straightforward. Jokes tonight. I'll tell some jokes tonight, and those will be alcohol fueled. So by definition, much better than what I would have told today. I'll start off the way I have to start off every talk these days, which is I have an ebook on this subject, which is free. I actually have an ebook I put together called Education Without the State, because this, of course, is probably one of the biggest stumbling blocks we face. After the roads, then they want to know, well, how are you going to have schools unless somebody is, you know, clocking you in the head to take money from you to fund them? And the answer is you don't need that at all. So the book is called Education Without the State, and you can get it for free. The website is nostateeducation.com. So I've got that stuff there. All right, I'm going to talk about a couple of practical things that I've been involved in. Because another criticism we get is that we're all about theory, but we're not enough about practice. It's great to hear theoretical explanations for things, and it's wonderful to understand how society ought to function. But how about we get off our rear ends and actually do something, actually implement the theory so that it affects people's lives? So that's something that I've been very sensitive to, and so I've tried to respond to that. And one of the projects I've been involved in is the K-12 Ron Paul homeschool curriculum. And the benefits of the Ron Paul curriculum are many, and this is a very practical way to advance our ideas. There are a lot of impractical ways. There are political action committees that have spent millions and tens of millions of dollars fruitlessly, nothing to show for it. And not one of those people ever thought, what if we created a homeschool curriculum to train young people so that the whole country wouldn't be zombies? It just doesn't even occur to them to spend the money that way. It's always graft. You know, how can we make sure that political consultants are getting paid five figures a month? That's the primary goal, apparently. But we had a different goal with the Ron Paul curriculum. So it's self-taught and video-based, which means that if you're a homeschooling parent and you're running yourself ragged to keep your house in order and make sure everybody's doing the right thing, and there are all kinds of challenges that you face, 90% of that is wiped away by this self-taught program. Of course, it will give your kids a different perspective from what they're going to get in government-run schools. That's true in economics, in history, and other fields. But that's not even its primary merit, although it's a very great merit. There are courses in this curriculum that are highly practical that you're not going to, certainly not going to get in one of the government buildings. These government-run schools are going to train you like it's 1953, and you're going to be taught no practical skills whatsoever. You're not going to be taught how to market yourself, how to find a niche for yourself, how to be entrepreneurial. You're just going to be sent out to college for 4 years, and then after that, you're going to sit at home waiting for the phone to ring, on the other end of which is somebody telling you that they think you're useful. Well, this doesn't work in 2021 at all, if it ever did. So we have courses on how to run your own home business. How about that? Or a course on how to write effective advertising copy. If you know how to do that and you're halfway decent at that, you'll never be poor, period. That's beyond debate. We have a course on how to be an effective public speaker. Because if we convey information to people, that is step one, but that's not the only step. The other step is teaching people how in turn to convey the ideas further to others. And public speaking is one of those things many, many people are terrified of. So we have a course on that, how to be an effective public speaker. We also teach people, young people, how to blog. Now, blogs aren't as popular as they used to be, say, 5 years ago, but they're not nothing. And they teach people how to write concisely, which is especially important. We teach them how to use the standard video platforms. In other words, how to use resources out there that are free that they can convey ideas with. So the website for it is ronpaulhomeschool.com. That's my affiliate site. I give you a lot of bonuses if you join through it. But it's not enough even just to think about the kids, because then there are all of us in this room, the adults. All of us suffered educational malpractice. That's a fact. All of us. And I don't want to leave the adults out either. So I have an adult program called libertyclassroom.com. Now, it's true. Some older students will use it for homeschooling. It has been used for homeschooling. But I intended it mainly as adult enrichment for people who feel like they didn't get the real story in school. Or maybe they were just bad students and they weren't paying attention and they want to learn the stuff now. And so these are courses on, again, history, economics, philosophy, related fields that you can listen to and consume while you're driving around. And it's the real stuff taught by me and by other faculty members I trust. And the principle of it is I cannot fix Yale University and I cannot fix the crazy things that are taught there, but I can create my own thing and go around them. This is what we mean about strategy. It would be a bad strategy to hold a sign outside the Yale History Department. That would be stupid and pathetic and weak. It's brilliant and amazing and strong to build your own thing despite these people. That's what we're doing. The great Glenn Jacobs, you'll remember him from the wrestling world as Kane, said that Liberty Classroom taught him more history than he learned in all of high school and college. So libertyclassroom.com is the website. And if you'd like to give it a test drive, you can take a free course at freehistorycourse.com. Can you believe freehistorycourse.com was available? But the old man here snatched it up and put it to good use. So that's the second thing. And finally, the third thing, I told you I had a lot to say and very little time in which to say it. Finally, education is not just about history and the sciences and whatever. And by the way, the Ron Paul curriculum, science curriculum, is amazing. The kids are building robots and radios, and they're learning meteorology and how to survive in the outdoors. They're not just learning formulas that are abstracted from actual living. But there's more to it, because these days, most of the struggles people have in this room and around the country have nothing to do with the non-aggression principle or libertarianism. Most of the struggles that they face. They want to know, with the Fed doing what it's doing, where should I put my money? The answer can't just be gold. What do I do? Tell me what I'm supposed to do with my money. Or how am I supposed to educate my kids in a society that hates me? How am I supposed to do it? I have to homeschool them? I don't see how that's possible. I have to work for a living. These are real questions people have. Do I send my kids off to that meat grinder called the university? If not, what do they do? Give me the, I know it's wonderful to trash the universities, but what are the practical alternatives? They want to know the answer to that. Or my job situation under the current circumstances, extremely precarious. What am I supposed to do in this kind of world? Or even something as simple as this. You enter a room full of strangers. Are you terrified or are you confident? Do you know what to do in that situation? Do you know how to strike up a conversation with a stranger that puts both you and that person at ease? These kinds of little things, when put together, constitute my new project, which I'm going to be launching in a couple of weeks. So if you go to nostateeducation.com, get my ebook, you'll be on my mailing list, and I will tell you when this thing launches. I'm launching what I'm calling a school of life, where we're going to take all these other things that aren't part of your formal education, but doggone it, are really important to learn how to flourish in a world that hates you. So these three things put together are my little contribution to what we're all trying to do. And I'd be glad to discuss it all further, but that's the end of my time. Thank you.
Hello, my name's Katie, and I was at the summit last year with the Tuttle Twins team. I've done a lot of work with them with writing and content editing and newsletter stuff. Right now, I'm working on a history curriculum that's coming out soon. So that's fun stuff. But I think that I am here on this panel to talk not about Tuttle Twins stuff, but to talk about our life and our experiences and the way that we have navigated alternative education. So my husband and I have 7 children, and we homeschooled them all up to college for those who chose to attend college. Our oldest did, and she just graduated this spring. And we have another who thought she'd try it out and then quickly decided that that was a terrible thing for her, and she walks away from it. And so I love that Tom talked about theoretical knowledge and how we love to talk about all the things that are wrong and all the ways that we could fix them. But we're often kind of light on case studies. So I like to think that our family is kind of a case study on this. So we pulled our kids out of school when our oldest was about 10. And so some of our younger children never did attend school, which always makes it kind of fun when, you know, they are in a setting like Sunday school, for example, and our son came out and said, "My teacher is terrible. I hate her." I said, "Why?" And he said, "She says we have to raise our hand before we ask questions." And I was like, "Oh, that's actually super normal. Sorry, we forgot to teach you that." But for the most part, our kids are, you know, well socialized, except that they don't know to raise their hands and stand in line for bathrooms and stuff. But it would have been great to have Liberty Classroom and some of your resources when we were first starting out, because we knew that we didn't want to replicate school at home. We knew the history of the public education system and kind of saw a long time ago that it wasn't broken. You know, we always hear, oh, it's broken. It's not broken. It's doing exactly what it was designed to do. And we didn't want... and we didn't want to participate in that. So we opted out of it entirely. And then we were left trying to figure out what to do with all these kids who we didn't want to just, you know, do school at home. So now I think they've coined the term unschooling, which not a favorite of mine. It sounds, I don't know, kind of anti-intellectual, and that's certainly not what we did. But we did focus on each of our children and their strengths and their abilities, their interests. And we spent a whole lot of time as a family. Our dinner conversations were always educational. Like when you create an environment in your home where learning isn't compartmentalized, right? We're not learning now. We're just doing life. And we talk about history and we talk about economics. And, you know, I was introduced to Mises a long time ago. And so these are ideas that we raised our kids just conversationally teaching them. And how do we learn? Like, you don't want to learn something that seems treacherous and tedious and it takes forever. You learn things and the things stay with you that you're interested in or that you are experiencing in a setting that is comfortable and that you're engaged in. And so when you approach teaching your children in that way, it never feels like teaching. We went years and years and years without ever purchasing curriculum. We just did life with our kids. And what that meant was not just turning them loose to do whatever they wanted to, but it meant being very, very engaged as parents. You know, I was always working, usually from home with writing projects and stuff. My husband's been in the military for 18 years. So we were busy people, but we still homeschooled all of our children and we did it without curriculum because that's not what they wanted. That wasn't what worked. We allowed them to pursue the things that they felt called to. You know, we have a daughter who's written several books. And when she was writing, we would just let her tuck behind this little nook she made behind our couch and she would write all day long. And she turned out beautiful, beautiful work. We have, you know, another daughter who's opened a bakery and she spent all of her time baking and she's making a career out of it because we didn't pull her and kind of force her to, you know, do worksheets during the day. And we did still teach, you know, all of the things that they also need to know. They can all solve math problems and stuff. But we really focused on teaching our children how to do life. I love your new project. It's awesome. And we saw that that worked when our oldest decided that she wanted to go to college. So she was 16. And we said, okay, well, let's try this and see if it works out. So she went to community college for 2 years, got all of her gen eds done, was able to transfer to university. She got scholarships. It was great. She didn't take the SAT or the ACT. And what we kind of learned in that was that it's all a racket, all of it. You don't have to jump through the hoops. You don't have to take this course that's just awful. I mean, kids are suffering. They're miserable. And I think they're not going to become less miserable anytime soon. They're miserable at school. They're miserable on their paths. They hate to learn. And they have this view of education as this very compartmentalized thing. They hate it. They hate it. And then they go on to college because they're supposed to, and they wander around and accrue debt, and they hate that too. And we have these adults who are just miserable. And why wouldn't they be? Their path has been miserable. And so when our daughter did end up getting into school and thriving and doing fine, and so we knew that, you know, we hadn't actually ruined them because until she got in, we thought, maybe this has just been a terrible mistake. And so we were waiting and she did fine. And that gave us confidence, I guess, to continue this course with the rest of our children. She doesn't know that she was the guinea pig, but she for sure was. And now we see the public education system, and especially these last couple of years, so that later tonight we're going to hear about, you know, where are we? How bad is it? What should we do? In public education, we're at a tipping point. Like, it's as bad as you can imagine. So you have to get your kids out of school. You can choose to homeschool. You can choose to use online curriculum. You can choose to unschool. You can do child-led learning. It doesn't really matter right now. I know this sounds like I'm a crazy person, but if you pulled your children out of school and did nothing with them for a whole year, then include them in everything that you do, in all of your trips, in all of your conversations, put them around the intelligent, capable people that you all have in your circles and let them become comfortable around those people, you'd probably do better for them than maybe anything else you could ever do. So if you're on the fence about, I can't take them out of school, or I'm not qualified to homeschool, or I don't know what to do, just get them out. Like, it's now. You have to do it now. And then you'll figure it out. Like, no one is as qualified to homeschool or to teach your children as you are. No one. Anything that you don't know, you can learn. You can direct them to a capable person that you trust who can teach them. You're the one that's the most qualified to teach them because you're the most invested in them. You know them the best and you care the most. So what must be done? Like, right now, it's that you got to opt out of this system and you'll find the path, but it can't be staying in this system. Thank you.
All right. Thank you both. I guess my exposure to strategic alternatives in education would be the most recent one. Although when I first learned of the Mises Institute in the late 80s, I had 21 hours of undergraduate econ, never been exposed to the Austrian school. And then thanks to Dr. Paul in the 88 presidential campaign, 1988, I found the Mises Institute and been happily associated, at least loosely, ever since. I was working in the proprietary school business at the time, which at the time was considered a strategic alternative to education because profit was supposed to be no part of education. But I'm now very happy to work for the nonprofit, which I do. I think in the board meeting a couple of years ago, the Institute board voted to create an online graduate program, which was the vision of Murray Rothbard and von Mises for a long time. They tried to get this going at other schools, but no school seemed appropriate. So the alternative strategy here was to create our own graduate school. I'm very excited about it. We got a very quick start, in part because Lou Rockwell had the good sense to establish the Institute in Alabama, which is a very great place to be. And I'm very happy to be there, especially now. But I was hired in November of 2019. And by August of 2020, we started our first cohort of 11 graduate students. I say that's quick because I just spent the earlier part of this week at an accreditation conference in Denver with an organization that which we're seeking accreditation. Some of the people at that conference tried to start a school, and it took more than 18 months, closer to 2 years, for them to even get a state license to teach a post-secondary school class. We filed our application in January after I started in November, and by March, we had our state license, and we could start teaching students. So very happy to be in Alabama for that reason as well. We've made some significant progress, I'd like to think. We've started 31 graduate students in our Master of Arts in Austrian Economics. We will start another cohort in January. We should have graduates from this program as early as March of 2022. We are probably within 10 days of filing our application for accreditation. And if some of you are wondering why we would bother to do that, I share your sentiments. That was my initial instinct. The reputation of the Institute is so good that we had hoped to rely exclusively on our own reputation. I think that would have been great. But little did we figure out that in order to teach students in all 50 states, we would have to apply for licenses in all 50 states, which would cost something in the neighborhood of $100,000, as described to me earlier in the week. We would have to ride herd on basically 50 different states' regulations. But we found a reciprocity organization that's been adopted by 49 states, which allows us to be licensed in our own state and teach in all 50, which seems like a really good deal. Having worked to get Ron Paul on the ballot in all 50 states, I sort of didn't want to have to do that on a continuous basis just to teach good economics. So we decided we'll pursue the accreditation. We're offering degrees. We're licensed in our own state. Once accredited, that will allow us to teach in all 49 states. And if you think accreditors are all bad, another thing I learned earlier in the week is the organization that we're working with accredits a gunsmithing school in Arizona. So they can't be all bad, right? So we have some distinct advantages, I think, in our program. A big thank you to all the donors who've contributed both to the Institute and to the program specifically, because this means we don't have to take government aid. We can keep the price low for students. No government aid means significantly reduced regulation, especially at the federal level. We comply with Alabama, join this reciprocity organization. We're good to go in 49 states, and we can teach in the 50th one, so long as we have no physical presence there. It's California. No one wants a physical presence in California, including the school. Won't be a problem. Another super advantage we have is the existing infrastructure. The Institute is, as you'll know, from looking at the brochure for next year's Supporter Summit, scheduled for Vienna, as I understand it. We have 39 years of an infrastructure, and it didn't even cost us $1.5 trillion to create it. What that infrastructure means to us as a graduate school is we have PhDs like Dr. DiLorenzo, you just heard from, Dr. Woods, lots of them, and they're all eager to give back to the Institute who helped them through their process. So we have PhDs ready to go in exactly what we want them to know and teach. One of the advantages is in the 100% online program, which we are, means if you went to, well, I had the luxury of going to UNLV, but the best instructors in every Austrian topic, we've got the Dr. Kleins, in the plural, teaching micro. We have Dr. DiLorenzo about to teach a class in regulation. Dr. Newman's, both of them have helped us out. But you can get the best Austrian subject specialist without having to move from school to school to school. You do it all in our program, which is fantastic. We already had a library, a great library, and a librarian. This is something accreditors care about, but it's great for the students. If they need help with research, they can pick up the phone. They can Zoom into a meeting with the librarian. And we also have a very great development organization that's existed for a long time and created financial stability, something else students care about, the accreditors care about, and keeps the price low for the students. So I couldn't be more excited about what I'm doing. No one seems to want my job of working with the accreditors in writing this huge document that we need to present. But I'm very excited about having it. I'm very excited about the program. I'm excited to have people graduating in a few months and expanding the program to all 50 states, because we can now teach in Warsaw, Poland, but not Warsaw, Indiana. And this struck me as odd, but even in 2020, during the online education conversion, several states where we could formally teach have passed legislation that says, no, you can't teach here anymore without getting a state-specific license, even though you have no physical presence in the state. So it's important that we're moving forward with what we're doing. I'm excited about it. So go ahead. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right, everybody, I hope you enjoyed that. And remember, go register this very minute. Do it on your phone. Do it while you're thinking about it. But go to tomwoods.com/revealed so that you'll be able to see my interview for that docuseries. But of course, it's not just me. I'm not a narcissist, right? I've got respect for other people too, and I'm sure they all did a super job as well. But the one person you know the best probably is this guy right here. And I really did my best in that interview, and I think you are likely to benefit from it. So get it for free as long as you hurry up and sign up at tomwoods.com/reveal. See you all tomorrow.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.